นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะพุทธังธัมมังสังฆังนะมัสสามิ Yesterday Ajahn Amaro approached me and asked to see whether I can give a talk tonight. Right away, I think it was a privilege, but I did a little bit hesitate to say yes, because I have been listening to his talk was so profound last 2 weeks, and my greed is wanting to have him talk again instead of me. So I asked permission whether I can make decision today. So this morning when I woke up, and I know for sure that let's accept it. And this is my first time sit down on this chair after 13 years of practice. I used to sit in the chair only for 30 minutes Saturday when there's nobody talk, and then I came in and I talk, and you have invited and I talk. And I have no idea what I'm going to talk tonight. I was prepared, but when I sit down there for an hour for the meditation before I came here, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But let's see whether I can have... Again, thank you, Ajahn, for giving me the opportunity. I would like to talk about... The topic for tonight is nothing is worth to get or to be. So in order to develop that topic, I would like to share with you what I learned the last 13 years here. But to start with, last 6 weeks, I had the opportunity to spend that time in the Kuti, outside of the field, and it's over, it was over today. I enjoy so much. If I had that opportunity the first time I came here, I don't think I dare to stay because I'm afraid of ghosts. So this time, 6 weeks was perfect. I enjoy it. I even dare to open the windows, the curtain, you know, I'm not afraid to any ghost can look at me. So this is full test. When I came here, after 3 years, I tried to deal with fear. So in the early morning, sometime 2 o'clock early morning, during winter retreat, with my flashlight, and I went around outside the field. I was scared. Yeah. But I try. And then I still not yet feel comfortable. Then I was sent to Chittagong. Then this is a place where I try again how to deal with the fear. We walk from the cottage to the main hall. I always equip myself with 2 flashlights, afraid of one is off, another one is on. So Asian, you're bound to be, you know. The story, even when we were young, grew up young, we always like to listen to ghosts, and we are afraid of ghosts, never dare to go outside of the house at night, like that. And everything to do with ghosts, you just cannot bear with it. And I did everything my best in order to move into the Kuti in the forest, and it was so scary. At night, every 3 hours, I have to wake up to light the candle in order to make sure that light, because if they have light, ghosts afraid of light and they will come. for 1 week, for 1 week. Even, you know, there was at that time, Sister Dipankara from Burma, she came. And she knows how to ask the ghost to get out from the Kuti. So I invite her there. And she did this chanting, some chanting. And then I said, how about it goes outside? Because I have to travel at night back and forth, you see. So still afraid. Then before I move in, I told myself, you have been studying the chanting, have been practicing for the last 2 years. Can you deal with it? Just go and open and go to the kuti, the daytime, and you do the paritta chanting. So I did for 2 hours to make sure every words are right. So I brought along with me the chanting book to make sure that everybody understand the Devada everywhere, every unseen people understand that language. That night after that, I can move in peacefully without fear. But at night, I still light the candle. And then a week later, then thing going good. And I still want to stay longer than 2 weeks, it should be. This is how I deal with fear. This year, when I went, I spent 6 weeks in the kuti there. It happened that I picked 3 books. One of them was written by a psychologist, the master of psychology. His name is Jung, and dealing with the memories, with dreams, and with reflection, he wrote when he was 83 years old. If I had known that book long time ago, I never asked a question, why you have a hard time to believe, you know, especially in Buddhism, it's so hard to believe when you start to read the Tripitaka. Now I understand how hard he understand Buddhism, because there was one time he was invited to India. Then he still, you know, the victim of his knowledge, because he's so good in everything as a scientist, and he decided to be a psychiatrist. And then how he deal with the mental problems, which is very, very good. And the second book was Sanyutta Nikaya. I tried to finish last year, and during the summer, when Vasa, I also studied that. And this time I finished, tried to finish that. Following the Four Noble Truths, oh wow, it was so good to read that. And then I read, not only read it, my flowchart that's so in the future when I reviews very quick. And I'm so grateful for that. And the third one was Crock of Gold by James Stephen. Well, this is a genius book, and I still instill in my hand. And I'd like to share with you, this year is my best year since now I am, you know, since I think 70 years. This year I will be 70 years old. Then why it is the best? Since I came here, I never miss winter retreat, because winter retreat is my best time of the year. Three months practicing straight. I used to practice more during winter, more sit down and practicing, then do things, something else. On the top of it is studying Pali, the chanting, whereas I feel during the ordinary day it's so hard to memorize it. So in winter retreat, that's what I did for many, many years. Yeah, and then I consider study the suttas and the chanting during Vasa. Then I that's what I did. But this year, I dare to take time off in winter retreat for 2 months away to travel to India, pilgrimage with 110 Cambodian people. So I left here in the month of January, joined them before the trip, 10 days, and then the trip, 25 days, and came back remaining, you know, the time. Then I came here to finish my winter retreat with a group practicing, which I never want to miss it. It was a wonderful time that when I came back, my gratitude, I do not know how to write into a language that is so big, is immeasurable. Everywhere we went, I never traveled with 120 people, can you imagine? With old and young people, and mostly the Cambodian people, many of them never traveled before. And they sell their belonging in order to be able to go to India to pay respect to the Lord Buddha. Me too, if I did not have that before I studied the meditation, I don't think I enjoy. In 1996, I went there with Venerable Mahakosanan to inaugurate the Peace Pagoda, all over, about six of them in India, but I didn't enjoy at all because the country was so poor, so dirty. Yeah. So now, when I went there, all of those I never saw because the gratitude, the place where we went, I bowed the Lord Buddha here, you bowed three times. Over there, three times you get out, you come back, and when they never satisfy. Three for me, three another bow for my friend, three another bow for my colleague, my abbot, everything. It's so excited and so everywhere. Yeah, so we went, where's the place that I got goosebumps and I cry was Kusinara, the place where the Lord Buddha passed away. The whole place covered all of us and we all wear white, the other people, but I wear my robes. And we chant funeral chanting. You see, you're so moved. It looked like the Lord Buddha was in there. And then when you go to Jetavana at night, we light about 10,000 candles. It was so like the Lord Buddha was there and his disciples, Sariputta, Magdalena, you know, Ananda, everybody there in the whole monastery, the whole cabinet there, was so good. Yeah. And on the road, we slept in the monastery. Everywhere we went, you know, the Cambodian monastery, in Vietnamese monastery, Chinese monastery, and we spent only among 25 days, only two nights in the hotel. Yeah. And traveling with so many people like that, it's not easy because some are late, some lost the passport, so many things. And we sleep in the room by four, by five, about eight of us. And some people, the daytime, we were tired and we came home to sleep, came to the monastery to sleep. And then there was some lady around 2 o'clock get up and take a shower. And make so much noise. And then she wash her clothes. So, and then nobody say anything because you are so tired, you go ahead and sleep, and the food, all kinds of food. But it's very interesting that none of us get sick. And we cook on the road. The organizer, they stop by the on the road, and they buy some vegetable, fresh vegetable, and then we stop at the place where they have a lot of water, well water, and wash vegetable and cook right there. And we ate there and wash all the thing. And If you never know how to use the natural toilet, this is the place where you have to. And never mind, everybody just go, you know, everywhere. You're afraid. And before we step out, the organizers say, watch out, you might land on the mine, which is poop everywhere, you know. You have to, you find your way. And I had so much joy from that. The leader was a best Dhamma teacher in Cambodia. He was so young. He's only, that time maybe 40 years old, 42 years old. And I knew him 15 years ago when I went back to Cambodia and worked with United Nations people to conduct election in Cambodia. So I met him and was so sick, almost died. So I took him to the international doctor. I said, this is the best person for Cambodia. Will you please take care of him? Which is not allowed to. I mean, because I work there, those doctor is only for the staff of the United Nations, not anybody else. But in that case, that doctor took care of him. So he get a cure. And then he worked so hard since then just for Cambodia, everywhere in the country. He gave Dhamma talk. Outside now also, he traveled a lot. Yeah. With him, he prepared, each one of us have book. And he prepared us before we arrived at one place, what is the place, where you expect for. And when in the car, he, when we get in, puja start. You know, and then Dhamma talk, discussion, question and answer, and we call chanting all the time. Yeah, but I was fortunate too. A couple years ago, I went to Cambodia, and the senior nun and the abbot there saw me like I'm some kind lacking. I was not stable, because again, when I was here, I spent most of my time on meditation. So the meditation helped me to understand Abhidhamma, but I didn't study Abhidhamma at all. And the chanting and Vinaya, just good enough Vinaya, that we apply in the monastery, not much either, just. Or maybe two-thirds of the time go into meditation, and the other one-third go into the other two, Abhidhamma and the suttas. Because I never interest in that. And that couple of years ago, my friend knows right away that I need to study the suttas in order to understand more, in order to talk, to be able to talk with people. And also Abhidhamma. If you know through the practice, you don't have any word to tell people. You just don't know how. Yeah. And it's so hard to study Abhidhamma. But after the meditation, you try to understand. But I never can. It's so thick, so fast that through meditation, I cannot distinguish from one step to another step, because when one thought moment is so quick, then I'm not able to figure out the dependent origination. Through that, for one vasa I spent in Cambodia, and I was able to study about 10 books, Tripitaka, out of 110. I pick here and there. And it's not easy either, because I repeat all the time. start with negative and end up with positive, and what I went in and just went into positive, I do not care about the negative thought. Just take only the conclusion. Yeah, and then I enjoy, really enjoy studying sutta nowadays. Yeah. Let me go back to the topic that I introduced, which is nothing worth to get and to be. If we practice and we really know the three characteristics of the Dhamma, which are anicca, dukkha, and anatta. If you really know this, that's the answer to that statement that nothing is worth to get or to be. In my walk of life, I usually want to be somebody, something. To be a teacher, to be a housewife, to be a wife, to be anything that I want. And I always almost reached the point, anything I wanted, the last one thing is to be the president of Cambodia. You know how ambitious I was, married to a man, was working for to be the president of Cambodia. But he was, that time was so young, and always said that just came back from abroad, not knowing much about country. And they offer him, we work, you know, just a few, we came back from United States in 1969. 1970, he was appointed as a Minister of Education, then a roving ambassador to Africa to talk about Cambodia. During that time, they spoke the president, the king of Cambodia. And I involved so much in politics, and my husband was also elected as the president of the National Assembly in Cambodia. But he also gave that position to his teacher, saying he can be vice president of the house. He was still too young, so working toward many years in order to have some experience in order to go to the higher place. So many people went home to be able to help my husband. But the country falls into communism, so many of them die, including maybe my husband, which I do not know. Yeah. So now when I look back, I'm so proud of him to decide to stay behind and let me go out, because I have to take care of the three children for their education, responsible for us, the parent. Yeah. So I get to the point there. I get too close to the top. It's not worthy. It's impermanent, you see, right there. You can to grasp it, you cannot. It's so much fun. But that kind of fun is followed with a lot of suffering. You see, you're at the place, and the suffering come in, then it's gone, anatta. Yeah. Am I wanting another one? No, I reached the point where I realized that. Yeah, I realized that things are impermanent. Yeah, and they to get and to be, those are the desire. Yeah. So we have desire. That kind of desire is desire with delusion. So as a result from the delusion, we end up with suffering. So in order to that kind of suffering, let's just go back a little bit. That kind of suffering, I still not yet understand. So that's life it is, that's the way it is. I don't know where is the source of the suffering. Until I come to this holy life that I realize that suffering has come from desire. But if we look closer to the desire, they have craving in there. Desire is desire, but if no craving, then it's all right. You see, but because of the craving, that gives us birth. Yeah, and then you go into that loop. When you have birth and you have aging, and then disease and death. So we all went through that loop all the time. So we have to find a way out. The Lord Buddha found a way for us. He worked so hard for many, many, many years, thousand years, in order to arrive to the formula that we all are using now. So if I put that kind of context into you know, the scientist people, they make Apollo and send Apollo to the Mars, and then they have to go into the loop. In order to get out of the loop, they have to spin up very fast in order to get out of that loop. Likewise, we too, if we want to be liberated from the suffering, we have to work harder than it should be, in order to go beyond the suffering. And that is the result from working hard. Because through all the reading that I went through, in the suttas, so many Arahat, they work so hard in order to be able to liberate themselves. So I try to work hard too, but not hard enough, still not yet hard enough. I try to follow what Lumpo said. I still struggling. And the bottom line of that was longing, desire, and this is not the right way. So now I relax more. So the journey for us is just try and error. You just try. The Lord Buddha already put out, you know, the map for us. You have to go through sila, samadhi, and panya. But through this year, my sadha, my face is getting very big now. Yeah, in such a way that I enjoy every time, even despite my age, I still sleep only 6 hours a day. The remaining, if I have time, I just practicing, yeah, because that very high, and you can see on the road on the trip also, Every one of them, there's so much generosity generate a whole 120 people. Just keep giving. Everywhere they go, they give, you know. Every one of them. And I also, so amazing to see them so generous. Even though they don't have much, you know. Their $100 for them is a lot. But they manage to be able to spend, you know, everywhere they gave away. I found out also, when you see so many kids in India, you want to help, but not able to be able to help. There's so many of them. They fight. So I got the insight, said, oh, very interesting. You want to give, but not able to give. This is the way it is. Yeah? If you give one, you have 100, many people more come. And this bother you a lot. It just, you know, touch you here and there. Everywhere you go, you have so followed by many of them, many people of them. And I saw the organizer, what they did was make them sit down on the line. And then while we're waiting for a truck to come and pick us up to go and see another place, so many mendicants came, especially children, women, and teenagers. They asked, so we asked them to sit down and wait. So they didn't bother us until an hour later on when the truck come pick us up, and then we give them money, then that way we can offer. There was one time I tried to make those kids work because in the monastery was so dirty, all kinds of plastic bag. Give them money, so you get some money. You do this, I give you some 10 rupees something. They pick only two or three, they come money. Yeah, they was trained that way. Yeah, it's so pitiful to see. But yet, we not come here, you know, to be able to help many people, help as much as you can. So I bring you back here. I forgot during the time I was in India. So the map that the Lord Buddha put out for us was, you say, so Sada, and then you go into Sila, and then Samadhi, and then Panya. So the Sila, what we have done today, about 8 precepts, you have 5 precepts, 8 precepts, is a code of conduct that for to have a peaceful life, and then to prepare ground for Samadhi, for concentration. Yeah, and the Sila, if you are good in the Sila, Sila is helping you, is good in the way of in speech and in the body actions. And then Samadhi is good for for wisdom, for Panya. Yeah. The concentration I would like to point out here, there are two kinds of concentration. The one kind was the ordinary one, which is the lowest concentration that we ever have, like solving problem in mathematics. You know, you concentrate that. You concentrate in, if you are a musician, write a piece of music, like Beethoven or Tchaikovsky, that's still not yet called concentration. And the concentration in Buddhism was, the concentration has no thoughts. If you're able to do that, then you can use the result from that concentration. Yeah. Through my journey, I've reached a point where I enjoyed so much the sound of silence when I came here. It was introduced by Luang Pho when he visited Cambodia. He talked all the time when we invite, I invite him to Cambodia. And then when he gave a talk, he talked about the sound of silence, which I never heard before. And then I asked during that time Ajahn Karuniko, Ajahn, can you show me how to listen to the sound of silence? But in Cambodia, of course, at night you can hear all the cricket, so you cannot distinguish clearly sound of silence. So during that time, I didn't know how to listen to the sound of silence. When I came here, then I walk in the field, then I heard, wow, this is a very interesting sound. And then I wonder whether the sound of silence that Luang Pho got is louder than mine, you know? This is very interesting. And then I keep using that sin then. Then I drop the one putto that I used to use. Now I still get used to it, to the sound of silence, yeah, as a background. Reach to the point where I have no thought. Then the fear creep in. Where are the things that I used to know? I forgot what I learned from school, from the university, all the formulas. Forgot how to cook properly. The ingredient that I used to know. Wow, it's not good here. I'm not able to read the book either. And not there want to contact people because I'm afraid that they might detect me that I'm some kind like get some the Alzheimer. You're not able to think. I went to a lot to Luang Pho. I need help, Luang Pho. So I practice a lot. It end up with now I cannot think. And I cannot read. I'm not sociable. And Luang Pho said, you go back, it's okay. You are safe. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Then I went back to my place. Then I questioned to myself, you asked me to meditate until no more thought in your mind, then I did it for you. What do you need from me now? Another mind asked, what do you need from me? You told me what to do and I did. And I realized that. I said, wow, this is a good thing here. That's right, Luang Pho said that. Next one is, Luang Pho gave me a topic of meditation so I can take it. An object, give me an object. Then he say, putto is good enough. And I recommend you to observe rather than any object of meditation. Observe and embrace everything. I say, who is impossible, Luang Pho? When I meditate, when many thoughts come into my mind, I cannot sit down long, even 40 minutes. Usually, when I learn from other teachers, when there are so many thoughts come into my mind, then I get up and I walk. Left. And then walk until my mind calm and come back and sit down. In this case, embrace everything. How can I embrace? You embrace, but you just watch. You're just an observer. Don't be a doer. Oh, Luang Pho, this one, I think, take more time. Yeah, it take more time. It really take more time. So I try to follow what Luang Pho told me. And until now, sometime I forgot and I became a doer, and sometime become an observer. Become an observer is much easier because you're not involved in doing things. You watch. Usually when I first use the breath, in-breath and out-breath, I make it in and make it out. So you're not observer. That's wrong. See, it's not easy to watch the breath. And then the next one was the Burmese style is the stomach, you know, when you inhale, you're rising and falling. This is much easier. So I use that, and when I encounter the sound of silence, was the best. Yeah, it come naturally and unoriginated. If you pay attention, and it come. Yeah, so all the time, no form. I wonder what is that? Uncreated, unformed, no originated, no origination. That's what how I learn here, and that sound of silence is so powerful that I need to share to my mother, who is. At that time, she was almost 90 years old. And every time when I went to visit her, she always wanted to give me food, something that I used to like when I was young. So excited. Never asked me to do anything, just be close to her. Because I was able to solve one problem, that when I was young, I asked her to send me to Cambodia so I can continue my education, because I cannot survive in Vietnam, because I want to go to school and I was so poor. And then since I arrived in Cambodia, I never send letter back to her. Never. I want to be, you know, something. And my mother felt so bad until at that age. She's not a good mother. So I was able to tell her that, Mom, what you had done was good. I'm the one who asked you to send me. You are not the person. You're not. You are my mother, you know, and you want the best for your daughter. And look at how I came out. If I came out with a prostitute, then you may feel regret that you sent me out. But I came out with a successful woman. So I asked her to forgive me for that, you know, make her think day and night for many, many years, does not know how her daughter is doing. And I lost contact with her also because I afraid for her safety. I stay in United States. If the communists had my letter and might harm my parent. So that's what I didn't. I make them understand. And finally, we able to reconcile. And before she died, I taught her how to meditate, the sound of silence. And it took me, you know, quite almost the end of my time to stay with her. 3 days before I left. I just wake up very early morning and go to her room and try to teach her. Mom, are you awake? Yes, I'm awake. So I went into her bed. I sit down with her and say, Mom, I learned something from England, but it's very good for you. What is it? What did you learn? I say, listen. Listen what? That's 5 o'clock in the morning. The cricket? No. The dog bark? No. The tick-tock of the clock? No. And then she keep listen. Oh, I know. There's one thing, that the sound, that sounds look like the cricket sound, but it's not cricket. Oh, that is right, Mom. Listen again. And then she listened. She was so happy. And at the end, she said, but it's so sad though, because so monotonous. And never end. Yeah? Never end. I did not know there's no separation. Just the whole line keep going. And then it's so monotonous. I think, Mom, this is much better than listening to soap opera, because she loved it so much. Every day she turned on the radio to listen to the soap opera, the story, and then she cried with it. But this sound of silence here, this sound is called sound of silence. And then the more you know that, the more you practice, listen to that, you will be very happy. And this is the way that you want to live with the Lord Buddha. This is a place where you can find the Lord Buddha. It's an emptiness. I introduced her to that. Oh, and then she was so excited. The next couple of days, she wanted to tell me, said, oh, I'm able to get it now. So she told her children, you know, to listen to that sound, you have to be very conscious, then to be able to show them. Yeah. So at the last minute of her life, she was going with the mantra that I gave it to her, with Sugato, is the name of the Lord Buddha, one of his quality, Sugato. And what need to be done for my mother, I did. For my father also, I did. Because he wants so much to have a decent house for his wife and his children. He was not able to. And I was able to offer him that he can live in there 2 years before he passed away. Where did I get it from? From working with the United Nations, which I got the salary lots of them, that I said that this is a way that I can offer to my parents. Yeah. So I would like to encourage you, as a motto, there's nothing is worth to get or to be. Yeah? You can put like that. And when you want to get something, you think that is impermanent, is create dukkha, and also anatta. So when you see that like that, you do not need to get, or you do not need to be. So I would like to end my Dhamma talk right now. And thank you for your attention.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
My heart did not beat, Ajahn, just normal. Usually I'm so afraid.